All right, folks, welcome back to another episode of the More Than Different podcast. Good to be here, Carl.
Good to be here. Good to be here and ripping another one. How are we doing, people?
Not bad. Just came off Mother's Day weekend. Let's give a quick, you know, two of our core values: appreciation, celebration. Let's give the due respect and appreciation that mothers all across the world deserve. Our mother has had an immense impact on our lives. Wouldn't be where we are without her. Literally. I mean, literally.
Literally.
And I'm sure, you know, countless people, everyone, sons and daughters all over the world could say the same. So, had a wonderful Mother's Day.
Yep. Yep. We got mom, some flowers, chipped in for a little, vacation.
A little vacay, you know, coming up.
So, hey, look, mom, you know, it's hard to match mom's energy. You know, she's our rock. We've leaned on her and relied on her for a while. So, and I'm sure everyone else can say the same about their moms, but hey, can't say enough about our appreciation
and the celebration they deserve. Exactly. So, hey, every day, get your I love yous in, get your hugs in, and you know what? Call your mother, text your mother. Goes a long way, because guess what? They are always calling and texting us.
Yeah, make sure you're you know, sending out that kind message, that extra effort to show your appreciation.
Go the extra mile. Do the extra work.
Your loved ones, friends, family, etc. It goes a long way. People don't forget about that type of stuff.
They don't. Speaking of Mother's Day, on Mother's Day, we got a little golf round in. First of the spring. Give me a few words to describe our round, Colin.
Loud. Loud.
Unpredictable.
Grotesque.
Although kind of predictable.
Grotesque.
Abysmal.
We didn't belong. We didn't belong on that course.
No. We did no favors of that course. Nonetheless, it was fun getting out, but boy, I got to get back to the fundamentals.
I think we have to take a step back and take a trip to Topgolf first. Ease into
just
the
get
season.
get some free clear mind hacks in.
Need a couple more beers on the course. I need more of a relaxing.
I agree.
First couple rounds to open up the season. Because whatever happened out there was not golf.
No, it was hide and seek. Anyway, week is off to a good start. You know what I realized, and it's crazy, 1 week removed, 2 weeks just about from college, I'm back on the morning train. You know, the thought of going to bed, the way these days are going where I'm at home and, you know, busy day, and then I'm here watching games. The thought of going to bed at 1 a.m., 1:30, you know, whatever, 12:30, 1, which was standard kind of at college. You're with your friends.
Of course.
And the thought of going to bed at 11 when you're at college was like, dude, no.
Yeah.
Now, like, God, the thought of being up till 1 for kind of no reason, I can't grasp that. And now, in turn, I'm now up at, you know, 6:30 effortlessly. Effortlessly. And in college, it was like, I'm up, I'm sleeping in. My first class was at 10 every day. I'm sleeping in until at least 8:45.
Oh, yeah. I used to have class at 8, and I'd wake up at 8:45. You know? So, look.
It's better to be on the morning train, because the morning does create the momentum for the day. We've talked about this. And the earlier you're up, the more momentum you can create.
Yeah, look, I mean, I think now that did we turn the clocks back, or is it the other way around?
I think forward.
Forward.
Forward,
right?
Yeah,
forward. So, I mean, it's brighter that much earlier in the morning. I mean, 6
brighter
o'clock.
Brighter earlier, yeah.
6 o'clock, you know, it feels like it's 2 in the afternoon when you're awake. So I think that helps. And then also just as the summer kicks off and as you know. Work starts up and you got, you know, trying to get after your responsibilities and your goals. It's, you know, that stuff just wakes you up. You know, you don't even need an alarm clock at that point, right? Once you start, the best feeling is when you can naturally wake up without an alarm clock.
Agreed. Agreed. Moving forward here, is a question I've been thinking about quite a bit. I kind of combat it myself, and I think a lot of people do. Maybe they don't realize it, but it's a battle we all kind of deal with in our own ways. And that is this question of how close or far off do you think your perception of yourself is versus others' perception of you? Colin?
I think I'm a little tougher on myself, so maybe people's interpretation of me is a little different than the standard I hold myself to. I think in general, as long as you're living by the values that you're holding yourself to internally, I think you'll find yourself that difference between other people's interpretations of yourself and your own self-reflection, that difference should shrink. But
do you think it's important for that to be relatively aligned, or do you think it's like, who cares? It's human nature to care what other people think. You know, it's such an easy thing to say to people, you know, who cares what other people think?
Well, I think what is important is that you live by your word. And I think that's really tough. And I think at times I struggle with that. But, you know, it's so easy to say something in the heat of the moment, but the execution of it is always 10 times harder. But I think as long as you are at peace in the fact that you are holding yourself, you know, you're living by your words, you can't, at that point, you can't control how other people interpret you, and you're controlling the controllables. And at that point, it's out of your hands. So you should care about how people think about you to an extent, but you don't want it to consume you.
I agree. But, you know, it's a battle, because I think, you know, we deal with the business in itself is, you know, how maybe, and that's the beauty of it, is that with a business or a mission, it can be ambiguous. It's open for interpretation. Or even like an author with a book, same kind of thing here. It's like, you're trying to deliver a certain message, but whether people receive it that way or whether it's received in a different way, or where the content is consumed and they draw a certain assumption of what's trying to be accomplished, or whatever the case may be with us. Sometimes those don't quite align, and that can be a frustrating thing. And it happens, I think, in your own life too, where it's like how you're trying to act or carry yourself could be interpreted as, you know, if someone's confident, you get, oh, he's arrogant, or someone's quiet, it's like, oh, he's shy, or I don't know, he's not confident, you know, like different assumptions people make. We all judge, you know, it's human nature. But I do think those who mind don't matter, and those who matter don't mind. So if that gap is way off, no problem. But I do think, obviously, people closest to you and who's in that inner circle, who you let in, who you want in, needs to be people who understand the perception you have of yourself, and that's the same way they see you.
Yeah, I think when we're going on this path, I think it's less important to quantify and gauge the gap and try and set thresholds to where, all right, if you're in this area of, you know, comparing your interpretation of yourself to what other people think of you, if that gap is, you know, within this range, then you're good, you're healthy. Within this, you're struggling. Like, yeah. I don't think that's necessarily the case, but I think this is all centered on being authentic in your own right. And it's a balance of making sure you're holding yourself to a certain standard and living by that, and not getting consumed in what people think about you, because that's how you start to become unauthentic and unoriginal.
Not real. Riddle me this, because the more we talk about this, and this was the goal, is hash out some things. You have like friends in your life that are kind of for a certain reason, yeah? Like different reasons. You got friends like they, you know, you see the settings you see them in vary, or the different when you're texting them what it is about varies from other friends. You know, you're going to have guys who you hit up on the weekends that are like, yo, what are we doing? Or are we going to a bar this weekend? And then you're going to have, you know, the friends that you go to for advice when shit hits the fan with a relationship, or, you know, all down the line. With that, that's always an interesting thing, because you show a glimpse of who you are to that person. You know, you kind of only let them in so far. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think if you're, like, have you ever met someone that's super passionate about what they do? They're never embarrassed to express that.
Yeah, yeah. And it can come off as like, dude, what the fuck? But then you start to be like, he just loves what he does.
Or it's like, how can you be mad at someone that just is not embarrassed about what they do?
Hell yeah.
You know, and they want to show it off.
What they do or what they love.
Exactly. So, and I think those types of people don't care about how other people perceive you more than others, because they're doing what they love. Now, the next layer to that is, as long as you're embracing yourself and where you are as far as where you're spending your time, I think opening yourself up to others, you know, feels less vulnerable. But kind of going off on a tangent there. But yeah, in general, I think it ties back to authenticity, and it ties back into the brand and really kind of what we're about and what we're trying to push out into the world.
Hell yeah. All right. I got some questions for you. Both introspective and some goofy ones. Not even goofy, but observational that I've had in the past week. So I'm going to deliver them to you here, and we'll have a little back and forth.
Talk to me.
We'll wrap it up. Now, this is an interesting thing. I forgot I had this question on here. I had a final project the last week for my sports comm class, and we had to create a marketing campaign to boost the public image of a professional athlete, specifically a rookie, and we were assigned the NFL. Had Marvin Harrison Jr., Maserati Marv, down the sideline. And we had to do some research. He is one of the few, and it's become more common, pro athletes that does not have an agent. So he represents himself. Now that helps because his father played in the NFL, so I'm sure there's a lot of counseling going on there because he's been through it. So that's great. If you were a pro athlete, would you have an agent? Now, even in this NIL world where I'm a college athlete, but I'm not in the NIL scene, you know, being thrown hundreds of thousands of dollars, but all these guys have agents. They're young. They might not know what to do with it. But agents are getting 20%, 15%, 20%, 25%.
They're eating your paycheck.
They're eating your paycheck. All to, like, obviously initiate deals and whatnot. So they're important. They have connects that you might not have.
Yeah.
Nonetheless, if you're in that position as a pro athlete, your name's known well enough because you're a pro athlete. Are you getting an agent?
I think so early on, because I'm trying to make a name for myself in the league. I'm trying to. I mean, an agent's going to do all that work that right. I probably don't want to do.
Exactly.
And they're going to.
Time is money.
Obviously, searching for that agent that you want to hire is important to make sure that someone's not going to screw you. But I think, I mean, at the end of the day, you could, you know, I think even just looking internally at your family, you know, looking, obviously, I think a lot of people hire their parents or a family member as a manager.
Yeah.
Kind of go that route. But I think I would have somebody handle that side of the business, at least initially. I think if I become established in the league, I think, then I might want to take on negotiating my own contracts. If I've, because I think the business side's interesting to me, but definitely would want someone to guide me through that first.
Media trend. All right, another one. What is worse? We witnessed this this weekend out at a bar, and I thought it was despicable. What is worse, leaving a beer unfinished, one or two sips left, or not touching the line during sprints? It all translates.
Well, let's talk about the sprint first.
Okay.
If you're not touching the line, you're selling yourself short.
Right.
And you're selling the team short.
You're cheating yourself.
You're cheating yourself. You're not doing any good. You're trying to find a shortcut to get by.
Yeah. You think no one will notice.
I think it's embarrassing, frankly.
Yeah. You think you can get away with
it. You lose respect. Right. And it's like you start to be known as that guy. That you know he's going to lollygag in the sprints. How bad does he really want it?
Right.
Type of thing, you know?
Sees what
he can
get.
Play, but he doesn't have that.
But what's he doing when no one's watching?
He's not
watching.
A fourth quarter guy. Yeah. That's that side of it.
On the other hand.
Not finishing a beer is.
Ground
it's just for, like, you don't, you can't will that through. It's like,
right.
You got a sip left. Like, we're talking a sip left versus touching line. Like, we're talking, like, you got a little bit left.
You don't have that in the tank?
I mean.
Like, that's more a question
it's an effort
of
thing.
Character.
It's an effort.
It's even, it might
it's character.
Be character.
It's character. It really is. It's, you know.
It's the intangibles.
But look, there's a couple additional factors at play here. Maybe people, you know, maybe if they're. You know, you want to feel good that they left something on the table so that, you know, I didn't drink it that much. I don't know. I, you know, the more I'm thinking about this, probably the sprint, but it's a bad look not finishing that beer. I'm going to say it.
Agreed.
I'm going to say it. Look, it's a bad look, especially depends on the bar. Like if you're actually at a bar or a restaurant versus a restaurant's a little different.
Both.
But if you're full, like if you're ridiculously full
right,
at dinner.
Right, like.
Like, I mean, but it depends on how much we're talking.
But
what,
we're talking one to two sips, like your standard casual sip. We're not looking for your shotgun. Look, I'm gonna say it. I think leaving a beer unfinished is a bit worse. Touching the line during sprints, not touching the line, I should say, also terrible. That being said, it's common.
I think, look, one or the other, if you don't do one or the other, I think you're
the
not doing either.
Right, that's what I mean.
You know,
if you're a guy, that's the thing. If you're a guy who you saw someone, and that's what I said when I saw that guy leave the bar with two healthy sips left, I said, that's a guy that would cut corners during suicides. He would not touch the line.
Yeah, like I think if you're not touching the line, you're probably not finishing your beer. If you're not finishing your beer, probably not touching the line. Do you want that guy in your foxhole? Are you going to go to war
right,
with him? I don't
right.
know.
Right, you want to be on the battlefield with him? No. So don't be a guy who leaves one sip left of their brew at a bar and touch lines. Put that on a t-shirt. All right. Now, I was looking on social media. Jerry Seinfeld, our guy, was the commencement speaker at Duke this past Sunday, I believe, Sunday or Saturday. Had some great little tidbits. Actually stole our whole flow from a blog we wrote almost 2 years ago now called Always Becoming. I've been dying to get it on a hoodie. Can you get in the lab and put it on a hoodie before guys like Seinfeld are fucking using our terms, but he said it. He had a little blurb where he said, don't focus on having, focus on becoming. I love it. Nonetheless, raises the question, if you could have one commencement speaker for your college, you already graduate, I'm going to graduate, but take yourself back, who would you want it to be? Dead or alive, anyone. You can go any route here.
Yeah, I mean, that's a loaded question. I'm going to swing and miss with this.
Throw a couple.
I need someone that, you know, pretty intellectual, can get the crowd roaring. I need someone that's going to make me laugh when I'm during graduation. It's a happy day. I don't need a pep talk about. I want 40, some inspiration. Yeah. I want you to hype me up, but I don't know.
I don't need the 40-year life plan.
The fluff, but I want some inspiration.
Yeah.
I want to laugh. Someone give me a good joke. Jerry Seinfeld's actually not a bad one.
That's what I mean.
So. Yeah, he's not a bad one. But for some reason, I was thinking Boston. I was thinking Ben Affleck. I don't know if
that's amazing. The guy. That's amazing. I just was writing that down as a possibility of my own.
That's unbelievable. Yeah, him. I mean, Barack Obama is just speaks to me. But
Barack would be good. He's got the voice.
He does. He's got some sense of humor.
Yeah,
and he knows how to talk to a crowd. So, you know, Ben Affleck's a wild card, but I think he'll get the people rolling.
He could get the people rolling. I like that one.
What about you?
I got a few. I like Robin Williams would be very profound. By the way, I think when I think Robin Williams, and maybe this is because I'm a bit naive, but I obviously think of him in Good Will Hunting, one of the greatest films made, Boston driven. He was incredible as the therapist for our guy Will, Matt Damon, that is. So I think about him because he's poetic, and I think he would really connect, and he'd resonate with the college student, the college crowd. That's one. Matthew McConaughey, I think, would be outstanding. He is inspirational. He's funny. And I think he would be great at connecting again with a college student. And then right in line with Seinfeld, I think Larry David.
Oh man.
Although I would worry that
he wouldn't care, I feel
like. No, he wouldn't care. I feel like he'd almost just make a mockery of what we just went through in college, like the 4 years, be like, yeah. But I think that's what you'd want, is you want someone who reminds you that those 4 years you just endured have now prepared you. Because whether they did or didn't, I think you want to feel like what you just went through was all worth it, you know?
Definitely, definitely. I mean, it's a celebration.
It's a celebration, right?
And
that's, it is.
Commencement is definitely something that's something you want to hold on to. It's a celebration, and you don't want time to just pass by and not celebrate going through 4+ years of something you've built and put so much time into to finally reach that pinnacle, and then just have time pass and just not celebrate it. So
it's a celebration, and you'd hope a commencement speaker would spark a sense of elevation.
Oh man.
Into the college student. All right. Two more here for your call. I was at the gym. I love going to the gym. But you know what I realized? I'm there for about an hour and a half yesterday in the weight room. And I must have spent, I don't want to know the stat, but I would imagine if we really had the timer going from every second that it was going on, I had to have spent 23 to 25 minutes just having a staring contest with myself in the mirror. And it raises the question. Now, I understand the practicality of it because you want to, you know, lock in on form and whatnot. But do you think the gym would be better without mirrors?
No, I don't. I mean, hearing that, I think you just...
I just have a staring problem?
Yeah, you gotta be better. I mean... You can turn that into a 30-minute workout.
No, literally. I mean, in between sets, it's just like,
yeah,
it's and not, I'm good. I guess it's a trade off. I don't bring the phone out, and I told you no music. So I'm really just fighting my own self. So I'm just like, I'm just sizing myself up.
Yeah, but look, I mean, who doesn't want to look at, like, say, hey, you just did a little bench press. You want to just get up, walk around between the next set and just say, all right, yeah.
Yeah.
Try to look a little.
Yeah, right.
Try to starting to poke out a little bit. Okay, this is what I'm here for. This is why I showed up.
Yeah, so maybe it is the main maybe, now tell me this. If I told you, hey, we're about to go get a lift in, you didn't know where, and I said, they don't have mirrors.
Don't care. I mean, I'm not necessarily a mirrors guy, but if there is one, I mean, I think it's just natural to look.
Yeah.
You know?
You think that's a make or break for some people, though, if you're like, it's an awesome gym. That's just one thing. No mirrors.
I feel like it definitely is uncommon to have a gym with no mirrors. I'll say that. I think wherever the dumbbells are, there's always a mirror behind it.
Yeah. It's funny, actually, at my old high school, Nobles, there was no mirrors. You see reflections. I used to size up those windows. Oh, my God. But
maybe that's intentional.
But I agree. So I look back, and I'm like, you know what? That saved some time.
Yeah.
Get in and out.
Exactly. Interesting. But I don't think it's a bad thing, but I think you need to... Yeah, you know, who doesn't want to check himself out in the mirror, right? But
and so
I think it's motivation. You know, you see yourself, and it's like you just see yourself growing and getting stronger.
Or
and
you
it's
hate just what like, you see.
Yeah, I think in either way, it keeps motivating you. So
yeah, okay, all right, nothing there. Last one here. I was thinking about this just now, actually, right before this pod. I had a little milk and cookies and. I love a cookie. I do. Specifically chocolate chip. That being said, if I almost eat the cookie as a vehicle to have a cold glass of milk. You know, milk with cookies. But the cookie enhances the experience of drinking milk. I'm not dying to just have a bunch of cookies and then drink a glass of water. It's that strips the whole, you know, enjoyment of a cookie out of it for me. It's the milk. It's the vehicle that drives the taste and the feeling of a cold glass of milk going down the throat. What foods are the best vehicles for a condiment or a beverage? Let me just give you one more example. The ketchup and mustard for a hot dog. You follow me here?
Yeah. So what are you asking?
I'm asking you what's something that you'd eat.
Like a peanut butter and jelly type of thing?
Yeah. Okay. Or like what's something you'd eat so that, you know, you can get the drink that would go well with it. You follow me?
Yeah. I mean.
Drink or like an add-on.
Yeah. I mean, look. Okay, Gushers and orange vitamin water. Okay, don't at me on that. That okay. thing is it's elite. Okay. You want to know something else? Okay. A good workout in one of those squeeze pusher bottles of Gatorade. Game changer. You want to know something else?
You're hot.
Eggs, bacon, cheese, glass of pulp-free OJ.
Okay, that's a good one too.
Okay, check me out.
Okay.
You want to hear something? Underrated. Pasta, red sauce, parmigiani, the little glass of milk to top it off.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Really, but I will say, you know, I'm not really a big milk guy. Last thing. Okay, is really any meal with a homemade black and white frap for dessert. I mean, it's just that really is.
It's frap season.
The cream of the crop. It is.
We've entered frap season.
And I honestly
speaking of that,
I honestly don't think, you know, a lot of people know what a frap is. And they think, everything's a milkshake these days, but really the New Englanders know it.
And speaking of that, that's a great way to wrap this up, because I believe we just reload on some ice cream, so I am going to indulge in a frap of my own. Thank you to our listeners. As always, we'll see you next week. C-Mac heading out to San Diego. Have a hell of a week, C. And the minute you land, I'm bringing the equipment to the airport. We're going to find a desk and we're going to record.
Bang.
All right. See you folks next week.
Peace.